everyone. This is Carrie L., and welcome to Carrie L.'s HeartLink Show. I'm going to help you through today with some wonderful energies. We've got a special guest on today, James Gilliland, and I've been looking forward to this for some time. Ever since I first saw James, back in the mid-90s, I believe it was, at the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada. So this is very special for me. But first, let's just take a deep breath and allow the sacred love to flow through you now. Good things are coming your way. And the blessing of the day comes from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds and hearts, and may we awaken as that light. All right, and we'll be taking calls from you all at the bottom of the hour, just so you know that. And I'm going to give you the phone numbers for the U.S., toll-free. It's 877-876-5227. And for Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And for international, that's 530-876-3222. All right, just so you know, you can go to my website and learn about what's happening all around the world, actually. I'm very much into the ascension process and the Great Awakening. And so go to heartlinkinstitute.com. And I also have links to all of my guests, and, of course, James will have a link to his website there. So please do check up on all the articles as well. And my crop circle cards, just want to just let you all know that I have written, along with the help of guides that I work with, call them the Great Council of Light, and I work with Assyrians. And it's called the Crop Circle Cards, and they have put this information together in a deck of 64 crop circles, and along with an accompanying book that helps you to interpret them. And you can use it for connecting to your higher self. All right, so let's now go to our special guest, James Gilliland. And he is an international speaker and minister and a visionary and author. And he has written Becoming Gods, number one and two, and I guess The Reunion with Source. Now, James, you're going to have to help me out here. Is that your Becoming Gods number one and you've changed the name?
Yes, it is. Reunion with Source is the first book. And then after that is Becoming Gods 2. And then there's a brand new book out called The Ultimate Soul Journey, which is just released. And we also have a movie. It's a theater quality movie coming out called Contact Has Begun. And that one is just flying out the door. It's amazing. It's getting incredible reviews and standing ovations wherever we've done special screenings for it.
Well, wonderful, and I want to welcome you to my show. And James, you know what? I feel you're so special in that you have this authenticity about you. How did you begin being involved in all of this? And tell us what you're involved in. I guess that might be a good start.
My God, it's pretty universal. I always tell people I like to be called nobody because nobody needs defending and nobody needs to argue, so it makes life easier. But I've had a pretty outrageous life, you might say, and some pretty incredible experiences, and I put a lot of it in The Ultimate Soul Journey, the book, and that's more of an autobiography that covers a lot of this, but it's it kind of started as a kid. I was raised in a small desert town in Apple Valley, California. And it was really close to, I can't think of his name. The guy that has the Integratron, and he's one of the original UFO guys.
Adamski?
What's that?
Well, of course, I think of Adamski, but...
No.
There was... Yeah, I know.
I don't know why it'll come to me, but I was right in his neck of the woods, and we used to see UFOs all the time, and we had a lot of contacts as kids. And I don't see them as abductions. They're more like a ride. You know, we were like willing participants in that experience. And I didn't remember all of it, but as a child, I experienced some extremely advanced beings that were very spiritually and technologically advanced. And it wasn't the typical, you know, story about grays where they abduct you and probe you and experiment on you. It was more of a healing experience and a teaching experience that I had, my brother as well. But at the age of 5, I had bronchial pneumonia, and I was dying in the hospital. And they called my parents up several times and told them that I wasn't going to make it through the night. They thought I would cross over. And I did a miraculous turnaround because I had this beautiful being appear to me. And, you know, I called her Mary at the time. She looked just like Mary, and she appeared to me and would stroke my head and talk to me, and then she gave me a substance that was it was like the consistency of Jell-O, you might say. It was kind of a white substance. It seemed like ice cream, but it wasn't. And
you could actually physically eat this?
Well, it seemed physical to me. I'm not sure which world I was in, because I was going in between worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed just as physical as me eating ice cream right now. So it's hard to tell when you're in that state as to what's on this, you know, what's real on this level, what's real on the next level. But I would turn around and perk up again and start feeling good. And she came to me 2 or 3 times to get me through, you know, the hardest times. And then I was never sick after that at all. I never missed a day of school.
Wow, what a transformation.
Yeah, that was when I was 5 years old. And then, you know, I went to make my mark in society and do all the things that we're programmed to do by watching TV, you know, to make the money, you know, get the beautiful house, the car, the boat, you know, get the sexy bronze blonde woman by drinking the right beer, you know.
All the 3 chakra, lower chakras.
Yeah, you know, that whole program. I kind of got lost in the world of materiality, and I went into commercial real estate, had my own office and people working for me, and then I had a drowning, and that just blew me right back to where I was as a kid. And I still had that sensitivity I had that I lost as a kid that was kind of, you know, it's kind of beaten out of you by society.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
social
so true.
Consciousness.
Yeah.
But I went back to that just ultra-sensitivity state, and I was seeing energies, you know, around everything, and beings, and I saw some beautiful angelic guides and masters and you know, ultra-dimensional beings, and then I saw some beings that weren't so nice, you know, as well.
Yeah, they're there. We are living in very unusual times, no question about it. You want to share some of the experiences you're now dealing with up at the Trout Lake? Where is that? Describe where you're located.
We're located right at the base of Mount Adams in Trout Lake, Washington, and it's about a little over an hour from Portland, maybe an hour and 15 or 20 minutes if you don't know where you're going. But it's a sanctuary. It's an incredible place. It's a vortex. A lot of people call it UFO and Paranormal Central, but we've been doing some very intense process-oriented therapy and intersensitivity training and working, you know, towards the awakening healing of humanity and the earth. And 20 years we've been doing that here, and it opened a gate, you might say, or a doorway to contact with these extremely spiritually and technologically advanced beings.
Wonderful. Do you have a name for them, or is there...
You know, there's a lot of different groups that are coming here, and the main contacts are the Palladians that we've been working with quite a bit. There's an Orion Council of Light. There's Andromedans, and some of the other beings, you know, all of the known masters have been appearing here as well as some unknown masters. And, you know, it's amazing what happens here. I just had a group up here this last weekend, and I guess they're going to the Rompa School. And they came up here, and we did some work in a pyramid. We have this special pyramid, and it's a room that's just designed for doing healing and clearing work. And we brought a really good group. I mean, some people that were already pretty focused into the room, and brought in the different masters, and they were just blown away at the intensity of the connection, and you know, the undeniability of it. It was like there; you couldn't deny it. You felt it throughout your whole body. And
you know, I used to lead UFO night watches.
Uh-huh.
I call them, and really, there's no need to convince me, because mm-hmm. I have seen these wonderful lights and golden vehicles, and it really is amazing. And I see on your website that you have all sorts of videos and pictures that there leaves no doubt in anyone's mind after seeing those, I hope. So, you definitely have kept a good record of what's been going on there.
Yeah, we have about 70 hours of footage of ships landing, morphing from 1 to 3 and back to 1 again. And these are massive ships. They're, if you do the math on it, the mountain's 13 miles away, and these things are the size of a quarter, 13 miles away, coming over the very top of the mountain, and they're descending down glaciers and pure lava-faced cliffs and moving on down, and it's all in wilderness land.
Do they go into the mountain, do you think? Or?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watch them going in and out of the mountain on a regular basis. And we've seen almost every kind of ship you can imagine here in almost every color imaginable. We've had pink ships, blue ships, purple ships, and green ships, and just about every color. We've had massive triangles. We've got those, some of those on film. And then we have cylinder ships and... a lot of different types of ship. We have some of the metallic ships, and some of the ships actually look organic. They look like a living mm-hmm. being, you might say.
I once saw, literally over Las Vegas, which is interesting, kind of a contrast to what you would expect, this beautiful pink mothership.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible, and it moved towards our group. And the anxiety level in our group skyrocketed as soon as that happened. So it was like, okay, now calm down, everyone, and just go within and receive whatever telepathic message you can receive. And just,
that is important, too,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that say they're ready for the experience, and
mm-hmm.
when the ships do come in and they start powering up and lighting up the sky, some people hit the dirt. I mean, they get really mm-hmm. scared.
Yeah. Well, we always have a safety place where people can go, you know, just to keep them in this place, you know, and know that they have freedom of choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the message you've been picking up from these wonderful beings? Or
well,
are they wonderful? I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, yeah. They've been telling me a lot about this November, and it seems to be going down, but... they said there's going to be a lot of political and economic turmoil and kind of a changing of the guard this November. And I have been watching this unfolding, and it does look like, you know, the big karma, which is more like a truckma, is revved up and speeding towards, you know, our present leadership.
Yeah, you know, I totally concur with that. I mean, I've been picking up for some time. Of course, I live in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've just experienced those great fires.
Oh, yeah.
And I must say, you know, not that I'm that paranoid all the time, from time to time, I just felt that this was definitely started. This was,
yeah.
You know, something that... that was trying to force us into a kind of maybe a precursor to a martial law that will become national at some point in our future if it goes down that way. So my sense is that we are like in this bridge point between, claiming our divine power and or just letting, the powers that be, go their way and do what they want. And I do feel that there is major, by December, Christmas time, the shit will hit the fan, so to speak.
That's what they've been saying, the same thing. And they were explaining to me what they're doing. They said that they're actually collapsing the old grid of which tyranny operates, and that consciousness is not going to be allowed to function here anymore. They're pretty much just running amok and going crazy right now anyway. But they're bringing in a new grid, and they're doing a lot of work with, there's a plating alignment and some incredible feminine energies coming in. And it's my understanding that these are going to push out the old patriarchal, lock on everything. And it's going to bring balance, but it's very, very strong right now because it has to, because it's so locked in there. So we're getting this huge wave of more matriarchal energy coming in, and, it is aligned with the Pleiades. And that is going to be pushing everything up to the surface and making everything transparent, allowing us to see everything for what it is, not what they'd like us to think it is.
Wonderful. So many of us are already aware, and I think more every day more people are becoming tuned in to what's really going on, which is really reassuring to me anyway. For the longest time I was thinking, oh my God, they're really going to pull this off, and now I really get the sense that no, that's not going to happen. So.
Yeah, I think they have all this stuff lined out, whatever you want to call them, the international banksters, everybody has names for them, the Illuminati and the war profiteers, but they've had every war already lined out and ready to go, and they've followed this program, and it's a very sick and twisted program. It's unbelievably without any soul or heart whatsoever. And I think what's happening now is that the energies are shifting so fast, and they're not going to be able to make this shift, and they're going to do everything they can to hold this down, but they're up against a force that no man can stop or group. It's just too big, and it's going to take them out. Their only way out right now is to do a complete 180 turnaround, start working in service to the awakening healing of humanity and the earth, and forgive themselves and release the past. I mean, that's the only way out for these groups, because the karma train is running and it's coming full speed, and the people that have been willing participants and actions which have been harmful to humanity and the earth are going to experience the reaction, and it's going to be amplified.
Do they have a clue as to any of the higher dimensional things that are going on and, our awakening consciousness? Or do you think they're just so fast asleep that they don't have a clue?
Well, they know it's coming down.
Okay.
One of the beings I work with quite a bit is Kazekiel, which is an ascended version of Ezekiel. And he merged with a feminine energy by the name of Kasia, and they soul merged and ascended. And so it's a very balanced energy, and they've been giving me the information about, they spoke about the fires there and the erratic weather and how it's going to create, excessive fuel followed by drought and then flooding. It's like crazy. It's all over the place. And they talked about the increase in earthquakes and volcanoes, which is, I think it's gone up about 400% exponentially. The hurricanes and tornadoes also have increased in severity and numbers. So all of this is leading up to a major event, a major shift. And
when do you see, is there a timeline that you see here for that major event? Or
I do. What they've been saying is that they're saying that even as close as this spring, there's going to be a lot of water movement. And waterways are going to be changing, and there's not just the poles melting, but there's going to be an upwelling in the ocean. So as far as March, it's not probably a good idea to be on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that's a very strong possibility right now. And into the end of 2009, into 2010, it's looking like the solar maximum is going to hit its peak, and it's going to throw off some massive solar ejections, you know, like coronal mass ejections and solar flares. And it's going to take the grid down, and just about everything with a chip in it is going to be going down.
You know, so many have predicted that. I'm glad to hear that you're, yeah, I mean, a lot of us are feeling that. That's why a lot of us are saying, okay, telepathically communicate now and begin that process mm-hmm. so you are tuned in.
And, you know, it's important that we start preparing on every level. We just can't, you know, do the physical thing. We need to prepare mentally and emotionally for this and spiritually.
True.
And you know, cover our tracks. You know, if you don't really love yourself and you don't really want to be here anymore, then don't take care of yourself physically. You know, just hang out on the coast and you know, go as high as you can before the big wave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's what you want to do.
Find the surfboard that you need for those
waves. Yeah. And, you know, if you want to ride this out, and I would seek some higher ground and, you know, and prepare some food stocks and, you know, spend a lot of time in nature and meditate and try to align yourself with this flow. It's worth getting through these times. A lot of people are very depressed and they're just done with social consciousness and the program that's running right now. They're so done with the lack of joy and love and freedom, and there's just nothing for them here anymore. And
the old addictions seem to be collapsing. You know, I have a question from, I want to just honor the fact that we have someone who's emailed me, Emily Dolman,
mm-hmm.
From Nova Scotia, and is also wanting to ask you, what do you see? Okay, she has several questions. Okay, time is very close. Have you heard that a world stock market collapse which will necessitate a total rethink of the economic system is about to happen? And can you speak about the changes you see in this area?
I kind of see definitely there's some huge economic shifts going down and collapses, everything. And I think a lot of this stuff is orchestrated by these international bankers, and they do it. It's like fleecing the sheep, you know, they let you get nice and fat, you know, and then they come in and they fleece it and they buy everything back on, you know, penny on the dollar, and then everybody starts over, and it's something they've been doing for a real long time. But
just that so many now know about it. That's
exactly, and I have a feeling this time is I'm not sure how far they're going to take this one, because everybody is watching this and they're waiting for this to happen, and when it does happen, it's going to be like the French Revolution all over again.
Well, is that maybe why they've already created the martial law and abilities for the Bush administration, do you think?
Yes, it is. But, you know, just, you know, the thing about America is that it is based on freedom, and it is based on, you know, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and we've lost about 60% of that right now, and the people are just done with it. And what they're telling me is they're telling me right now that the masses are just done with the nonsense. They're done with the wars. They're done with all this nonsense. And they said that the Earth is done with it as well. And then I was talking to the Pleiadians, and they said God is done with it. So
all right.
It's kind of interesting coming from them saying, you know, they're talking about God as a frequency and a force. And what they said is that the original intent for the planet was to be an Eden, for people to live in harmony with each other and nature and evolve to their highest expression. Mm-hmm. And that original intent was hijacked. And it was hijacked by some pretty dark souls, and which are now manifesting themselves as some of these international bankers and the gray men and the, you know, the war and oil profiteers, these people. And they've taken the planet to an all new low. As far as,
do you think that's been guided by a group of extraterrestrials that are from the dark forces too, or
I think there's more than that. I think there's some, you know, I've seen some beings that some people don't realize there are demonic beings and there are some alien beings that aren't so nice. And it's a combination of both, I think. And it just has to do with a vibrational continuum. As you move up the vibrational continuum, you move into more expanded states of awareness and love and joy and bliss. And there's some beings that are way down there on the bottom of the scale trying to control and manipulate everything. But they're actually holding themselves down and their own evolution down. They aren't evolving, and they're cutting themselves off from the love and the joy and the bliss and everything that they're seeking by trying to control and dominate everything. So
the true power really is not about stripping others of their power, but giving them power. That's the way I see power.
Well, exactly. It's empowering the individual. That's what you use power for, to empower you to fulfill your own unique soul purpose and to empower others. It was never meant to overpower others. That's the extreme misuse of it, and we've seen that extreme misuse to the limit, you know, with our present leadership. But
and there's also a need to take responsibility here, because we are these wonderful awakening beings that are recognizing who we really are, that we really have been kind of stuck in old trauma material that needs to be released and at least recognized and dealt with, so that it can be released.
Yeah, that's exactly. I asked the Palladians, why are you here? And they said, to release the past. And I said, okay, can you be more specific about that? And they said, your past is creating your tomorrow. You know, all your old, you know, old wounds and traumas and grudges and everything that you can't let go of is creating your tomorrow. And they're helping us to release the past. And they're doing it energetically and spiritually. And they have a spiritual form of technology as well that they're doing to lift the earth and assist us through frequencies. But it's a major event that they're undertaking, along with what I call the beautiful many. There's all kinds of beings aligned with this effort. And, you know, basically the only people that are out of alignment right now is man. You know, you've got the off-world visitors, you've got the angelic guides and the masters, and you have the nature kingdom, and everything is kind of in sync now, and the only one that's really out of sync is humanity.
Well, that's good to recognize that we are really in this universe of multi-beings, and we need to start doing our share. I think we have been, quite frankly. I think we've, for 26,000 years, been going through some really intense training on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see us then going to the next level of our godhood? Is that what you see happening in this process?
Yes, it's an ascension process that we're undergoing. It's a quantum leap in evolution. And what I'm seeing, you know, a lot of these gray men, you might call them, they actually thought that they were going to take off and hang out on Mars and the moon, and they've got bases there, and they've been kicked back to Earth, and they don't have a choice anymore. They're going to have to go through all of the mess that they've created here. And
so basically, we have guardians taking care of things.
Yeah, and the thing is that it doesn't matter how much money you have or whatever, or how deep a hole you can build and what kind of technology you can use to protect yourself. You can't run from your karma, and you can't run from your frequency. And their frequencies are not going to be sufficient to make it through this leap, this jump. So basically, their only hope right now is to get with the program. There's no other alternative for them. They're either going to take the downward spiral and lose their empires and their lives and everything, and they won't be able to reincarnate back on the earth again, because the earth will have moved beyond their ability to catch up to it, you know, the frequencies of the earth. So
we're going into the fourth and fifth and so forth, that those dimensions.
Yeah,
with
some
the
are
earth
actually going
well.
Into the fifth. And some people are already manifesting the fourth and fifth dimensions. I have several friends that all of us are taking photographs, and we're disappearing at times. And we're sitting there in the photograph, and then all of a sudden you can see right through us, and then we're gone. And it's kind of...
Wow.
Kind of interesting. A lot of times when I go into deep meditation, I'll come out of meditation and walk up to people, and there are several of them talking, and they're looking right at me, and they don't see me until I walk right up to them, and I'm standing there, and I say something, and they all just jump out of their shoes, and they go, "Where'd you come from?" You know, so.
Well, you know, I totally appreciate that experience. I kind of go through that myself from time to time.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm pulsing in and pulsing out, and I feel like kind of it's crazy in dealing with those, you know, the shifts within mm-hmm. our beings. It's really forcing us to really pay attention.
And, you know, too, it doesn't even seem. I mean, I don't even know I'm doing it at the
yeah.
time. It seems totally like I still have my body. I'm still observing everything else, and I'm starting to understand that that's the way a lot of these other beings are. They're walking right alongside of side of us,
right?
And they can see everything we're doing, what we're up to, but we can't see them just because they're just.
Well, you know, I know that, you know, a lot of us are now waking up to these other dimensional beings, and from time to time, when I've seen them, I've questioned my own sanity. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And know that they exist. But in what way are they existing, and how? And I guess I realize that I'm kind of the creator in this process as mm-hmm. to how what energies I accept from them. You know what I'm saying? It
yeah.
could either be a negative or a positive experience. In other words, depending on my projection.
Now that process too can all be explained as well. The eyes, the way your eyes are set up, the cones in your eyes. When you look straight ahead, that's for this objective world. And the side vision of your eyes is actually to pick, it'll pick up other dimensions and things. And so that's why you see a shadow person, you see something over there and you turn to look at it and it's gone. It's because of the makeup of your eyes. And
mm-hmm.
there's another thing that people don't understand is that you really don't see with your eyes, you see with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain chooses how much of the data that you're going to experience and what's useful for you. And your eyes are actually picking up billions of bits of data. They're incredible devices, but your brain is only picking up a very small percentage of that data and choosing which of that data that is going to be useful for you. So it's very important for people to realize that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'll believe it when I see it, but it's actually the opposite. That a lot of times you're not going to see it until you believe it. Or until you do your spiritual practices, which are going to open you up to these other dimensions.
Well, which are going to balance you as well so that you can receive the higher frequencies. You know, again, so many people have been shut off from those love frequencies that when it comes their way, they don't even know it exists, you know.
If yeah.
They turn it away, in other words.
I think it's also important to learn right off the bat, we teach people here, how to heal any unseen negative influences and stand in your own self-authority. Because it's part of the process is when you start expanding in consciousness, that greater awareness or consciousness, you're going to start seeing some things that might not be so loving and friendly, you know. So it's very good to learn how to heal, like discarnate spirits or thought forms or anything of that nature and stand in your own self-authority. This is your body, this is your life, this is your destiny, and nobody has a right to interfere in that.
Good point. You know, you can choose to direct them onto the light, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some techniques that I put into both books, and they're on the website as well, that teach people how to heal any unseen negative influences. And we do that here, too, as well. We help people keep their energies clear and clear up any of the old wounds and traumas and past life experiences as well.
Yeah, we do that here at the Heartlink Institute. And so much of this is a collective ascension process, and to join with others, it feels to me that the getting the support of others as we undertake this ascension process, and to be able to discern the energies is so important right now.
Exactly.
And take responsibility, again, as I say, if it's your material from perhaps a trauma that you've experienced.
I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a long time ago back in, it was like 82, I think it was, I wrote a lot of the information in these books about the changes, and it's all unfolding, you know, right on cue. But the what I saw back then was pretty heavy duty as far as the end result. And a lot of it's been lightened up by groups that are coming together and focusing on the higher frequencies.
Well, these times are about the collective Messiah. Quite honestly, I feel like we're all learning the Christ consciousness now,
mm-hmm.
and it's not about one person, you know, coming to save us
mm-hmm.
as in the patriarchal times.
You know, almost all the masters have said that, and Yogananda said that. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Babaji has talked a lot about it, but they've all talked about the second coming as coming through the collective consciousness and not as one individual. But, you know, one of the problems we've had, I've been telling for a long time, I said, you really have to think about what happened to Eden and, you know, what has been the biggest divider and separator on the planet that is keeping people from living in harmony with each other and nature. And it is, it's religions and government.
Oh, I agree.
Because if you talk to the common people in traveling, I'm pretty much welcome anywhere. I can go into, you know, and sit with the yogis or the lamas, or I can go just about anywhere and sit with people. And I focus more on the energy and the frequency and bring in the higher energies, and there's no problem. But when you get into the fundamentalist programs and that are pushing this big separation, chosen one nonsense, that's where you start having the problems. And then the governments as well, you know, creating all the borders and all the other things. That, you know, God has no borders, and we're all children of God, and it's what we're doing is all about power and control. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah. Well, we need to recognize there is a definite difference between our spirituality versus religion. I mean, there's definitely, you could be spiritual no matter what you choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I mean, then, you know, it's not about you not joining a group so much as holding your own integrity and independent thinking rather than being, the tribal social consciousness forcing you into, doing the things that they want.
Exactly. It's, you know, in the heart of hearts of all humanity, we all, you know, want to live in peace and harmony with each other and nature, and we do want to, you know, live a thoroughly loving, joyous, prosperous life. I mean, it's written within all of us, and there's no reason we can't, other than, you know, a lot of this manufactured lack that's going on and a lot of the control programs. But,
yeah.
You know, these are going out the door right now, and people are just saying, look, you know, I have a right, you know, to, you know, live a thoroughly loving, joyous, prosperous life, you know, it's time we exercise that right.
All right, we have a caller, and please introduce yourself, and where are you calling from?
I am from Minnesota. My name is Adam.
Adam from Minnesota.
Yes.
And do you have a question for our guest, James Gillian?
Yes, I do have a couple questions, actually. One question I do have for you, James, and I love everything that you do, by the way. I have a question about Nasira. Have you ever heard of that?
You know, I have heard of it for quite some time, and I've told people that a long time ago when I first heard about it, I said, you know, I think they've greatly underestimated the opposition. And
Can you explain what that is, Nasira?
You know, he might be able to explain it better than I can, but I guess it's a format that they've put together, and it erases debt, and it opens the door for contact. It has everything that most people would want to see happen on the planet, and they're trying to adopt this and get it through. But you know, the people that are doing actually the opposite, you know, need to be kind of pushed out of the way, you might say.
Okay.
Edward, is it Edward?
Adam.
Adam. Adam. What spell that for what?
Nasira. It's Nesara. It's I'm not exactly. It's kind of a. It's something to do with the banking system,
mm-hmm.
Making a new worldwide banking system, like a hard-backed money of sorts. I'm not exactly sure what's all entails in the whole process.
But it's a good time, is what you're saying.
It's part of our ascension and contact.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a good thing. It's just not... I don't think. I mean, they said it's going to happen. I don't know how many years now they kept saying it's going to happen. You know, next week, next month, next week, and I see there is a possibility of it all coming together. But these other energies have to be pushed out of the way.
I was going to say maybe our debt will be erased no matter what. Anyway.
Yeah, nature might
well,
do that.
Obviously, yeah. My second question, I guess, is. I guess a lot of people would probably want to know, when is contact going to happen?
Well, one of the things happening here, it's been going on for 10 years here on a smaller scale.
Right. I'm talking about the mass contact that they speak about.
And what I've seen right now is they're telling me that they've been telling me all the way through November, and the more the Earth changes kick up, the more ships you're going to see. And they're working very, very hard right now. Now, Mexico has literally thousands of ships flying over Mexico. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of ships, and we have that. It's actually in my movie, In Contact Has Begun. I have the footage of that happening. And I think, I'm trying to remember the other states. I know Peru is having a lot of activity, a lot of places. We're just getting excellent footage. Turkey is a huge UFO flap in Turkey, and they had a news coverage on a bridge, and these ships, massive ships, came in and flew right over the reporter, and they caught that on film just recently.
Yeah, I saw that. Was that on your website, James?
Yeah, I believe it is on our website. Mm-hmm. It's at eSETI.org.
Part of that is because these countries like Mexico and Turkey, they invite stuff like this. I mean they don't suppress it or anything like that. That could obviously be the reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I think the main thing is they don't shoot at them.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a lockdown in terms of our media in this country.
Yeah, I mean they've been coming and going for a long time, and what I'm seeing is that this year, I'm sure by December, right now the disclosure part is up. I mean, you can't get away from it. It's hitting all the politicians right now. They're having to deal with it. It's there's a big news conference again over at the in Washington, where they're bringing all these key people together again.
The Disclosure Project?
Yeah, there's another one up right now where Fife Simonson is going to be the moderator of it. He's the governor of Arizona.
Oh, yes. Tell the story about that, James.
He was on... what's that guy's name?
Larry King.
Yeah, Larry King. And
exactly. And, you know, they are having this Friday on the Larry King show major people coming forward again and just blowing the lid off of this thing. So
I mean, there are just so many credible people now. Yeah. They can't hide it.
We have some things I can't really talk about right now because I don't want to, you know, screw them up. But we have some of the top news people, you might say, about ready to blow the lid off this whole thing. And
that's awesome.
And with this movie, there's three movies coming out right now, too. They're going to be hopefully hitting the theaters. But they're available on our website. You can go to our website. But
Simonton was, what, the governor of Arizona when the Phoenix Lights?
Exactly. And when the Phoenix Lights flew over there, you know, they're trying to say they're flares and everything else, but I have that footage, and when you see this footage, those things are definitely not flares. They're hanging out, they're maneuvering, and then they take off, and they fly up and away. There was a massive triangle that flew over as well that they said you could land, you know, several 747s on the wing of this thing. So one lady drove under this ship, and... you know, she's going 60 miles an hour, and she said she was driving for I don't know how long, you know, underneath this ship, and she just kept driving and driving. They just kept seeing this ship, and it was going the opposite direction she was going, and I can't remember. We figured out how big it was, but I mean, the ship was just massive. So,
are you talking about the Arizona?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. There was more than one event that happened there. There was the Phoenix Lights over the airport, and then there was a massive ship that flew. I guess you can look it up on the internet, the whole process on where it went, how it was. They tracked the whole thing.
Do you have any other questions you want to ask?
No, that's it.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
James, I'm interested in what your take on the implants. What's going on with that?
Oh, with the probes and the other things?
Well, you know, some people report that they have implants. Literally, they have some kind of physical implant.
Yeah, Roger Lear has done a lot of work on that, and he's been pulling those out. And it's my understanding that that's a combination of the little guys, the grays, you know, with the dark eyes and our own government working together. And
could it be, though, on the higher frequencies, that something else is going on? I guess I see several layers here.
There are. You know, I had something happen to me. I don't really talk about it too much, but I had in the back of my ear, I had this thing in my ear, and I dug it out and popped this thing out, and it looked like a crystal pill, just like a really small little crystal pill.
Mm-hmm.
And I took this little object, and I put it in, a small little baggie, and was saving it. And I was going to send it to Dr. Lear, I came the next day and looked at it, and all there was a little thing where it turned into smoke. You know, it was gone.
Well, I just want to let people know that you're listening to Carrie L's HeartLink show. We have a wonderful guest, James Gilliland, and he is a wonderful expert on UFOs and consciousness. And, James, you want to give your website and any other information for contacting you?
Yeah, they can go to ECETI. It's ECETI.org is the best one. Remember, it's .org and not .com.
Okay.
And that's the best way to get a hold of us, and everything else, I'm sure your listeners on a computer right now. So going to that website will give you the phone numbers and everything else to get a hold of us. And the thing about up here at the ranch is that we strongly recommend that people come up and have their own experience, not to just take our word for it, but do their own investigation and have their own experience. And then it's real for you. We've had over several thousand people come up here, and they've seen the ships and had their minds totally blown.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is good. Actually,
we found that was the best way to do it. Rather than go out and try to prove it to people, we just say come up and experience it yourself, and then you decide what you're looking at.
Well, and the more we can get out of our minds and into our hearts, the better it is.
Yeah, and we use scientific analysis here. We go to heavens above, and we make sure we're not seeing satellites or space stations or the Evastat or any of the bigger satellites. And, you know, it'll say on there you can only see maybe three or four satellites a night, you know, sometimes one or two. And, you know, we'll see 20 to 100 sometimes. And these things just last. Two nights ago, we had three come over, and they powered up when they got right over the house. There's three different ships, and it was amazing.
When you say powered up, explain what you mean.
Well, they're coming in. You can see them cruising in. They look like a satellite almost, and a little bigger than a satellite, and they're lower than a satellite, and they're just lights, and they come in, and when they get right over the house, they just power up to, like, who knows, like 20, 30 times bigger.
Oh.
Really big.
So you can't mistake it as a satellite.
Yeah, there's no way you can mistake it. And then they'll turn, and then they'll stop, you know, and park. And there's times when they send light. The weirdest thing is they can, like, bilocate light. And you'll be out in the field, and all of a sudden you're just totally lit up. And everybody in the field is lit up, and you're looking at, you know, everybody's faces. And it's incredible, but there's no beam. There's no beam of light coming to you from the ship. They can actually project the light wherever they want. It's quite amazing. Some of the
technology contact has begun without question. And where do you see this? Has there been a landing? And have you actually? I know you have telepathically communicated with them, but have you had physical contact as well? Or
I did quite a few years ago. I actually had physical contact with a being. And I actually went on their ships and got to experience that. Just flew around the area, flew next to a fire tower. And when I came back, they were working with the people in the fire tower, and that later on they went on Jeff Gianola's town hall and talked about their experience with the ship. So it was kind of that helped verify the experience. And then I've had a lot of out-of-body contacts where if you go to my bio on the website at eSETI.org and go to the bio section, you can actually see a photograph that was taken by Tom Dongo. And he's a UFO paranormal investigator. And I told him, I said, okay, take it. I'll tell you when I'm going out of my body. Take the picture. And you can actually see one body leaving the other body in the photograph. And that's the way you really get in touch with these ultra-dimensional beings, because, you know, if you follow the light spectrum, there's life all along the light spectrum. There's a vibrational continuum, and there's whole civilizations living along that vibrational continuum, and other dimensions and other worlds living right alongside of us. But we have to learn how to get out of our bodies to experience these other realities. But, you know, we have... It's important to understand that there's physical ships, there's ships that are pure energy, there's ships that are magnetized light, and there's actually Merkaba vehicles that are just pure consciousness.
Mm. Well, what's the most important piece that you want to leave the audience with, if you were to tell them, okay, this is what you need to do, what would you tell them?
I'd say buy my DVDs and books.
All right.
That's something I never do. You know, I never promote myself, and I'm really bad about that. I always get chastised for it. But seriously, the Contact Has Begun covers near-death experiences. It covers earth changes, and it covers contact.
So it gives methods for helping you to...
Very powerful message in that. And then there's another video I have called UFOs in the Brain, that's on the site by Jay-Z Knight, and that gives the scientific side of it, is why, you know, how we need to move up this vibrational continuum and how to do it and why we can't see things on other levels and how to train ourselves so we can, you know, create the neural net in the brain so we can see these things.
Mm.
And it's a very powerful scientific understanding about that. And
so it's important to... Go ahead.
There's another one, a brand new one called Orbs, The Veil is Lifting, and it shows a lot of the ultra-dimensional things going on and has physicists and a lot of people talking about orbs, which are those light spheres that are coming in many different colors, and the veils are lifting right now, so these beings are coming more and more into our world, and they actually can be photographed.
What can... We do, though, now. What instantly can I do after I hang up? Go into meditation, or, you know, what should I be about in my life?
You know, I've studied with some of the best masters on the planet, and one of the lamas I studied with, I love what he had to say, and he said the reason there's so few enlightened beings on the planet, he says, because it's so damn simple. And he said, focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it. And we have to take that meditation time, and there's a lot of different meditations. Best to do them in nature if you can, you know, outside of social consciousness or being distracted. But if you can't, just find a very quiet place and just focus on that love and that joy and bliss. And, you know, God is a feeling. It's not a mental construct. And that's the most important thing we need to realize, that it comes as a feeling. And the more we can match its frequency, the closer we are to God, and the more we're living a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life, the closer we are to the nature of God, you might say. So, you know, the more
it's our relationship with God that is important.
Exactly, it is very important.
And then that frequency will take care of us.
Exactly, and, you know, and act on it. You know, act on the information if you feel inspired to do this.
Do we act on what these war and disease profiteers do? What do we do about, or do we just wait and see, or how do we deal with that?
Well, I think the more we anchor in this higher consciousness and energy, and send that out into collective consciousness, the hunter's monkey syndrome will take care of a lot of that. But we all have to do our part. You know, we might have to say what needs to be said, and we'll be called upon when it is time to make a stand and stand in our own self-authority with courage and say what needs to be said when it needs to be said.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I mean, that's great. So basically, we'll just know by that point what to do if we've been doing our inner work.
Exactly. It you know, there's an old saying, being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat.
Yeah.
So
true, and a proactive rather than waiting to be reactive is
exactly.
Real
you know, I'm not doing the cross this time around. You know, so,
is there, we have, oh gosh, we have one more minute. I guess we better stop here unless there's one more thing you want to add.
Main thing just that, you know, the bottom line is that Eden is returning and that we need to live in harmony with each other and nature and just stop acting outside of the universal principles and understandings that are necessary for a healthy society and environment, and that's written, you know, the universal law is written within the heart of hearts of everyone, and we know when we're doing something that's not in the highest and best good of humanity, Earth, and we just need to knock it off, basically.
Yeah, each and every one of us be doing our work, and then the rest will follow.
Exactly.
And the tyranny
act as though
will
you have an
end.
Angel on your shoulder.
Yeah, our own inner tyranny needs to first be addressed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, the triangle, the victim, savior, persecutor triangle, and we're all on that triangle somewhere and trading roles often, so time to just step off the triangle and just master judgment and become the observer and just say, you know, I'm not going to engage in this and let your own God self move into that.
And again, stay in your own calm center, regardless of what's collapsing out on the world stage, and just know that there's a divine plan working here that's much more powerful than any of the negative program.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, James. It's been such a pleasure, and we'll have to have you on again. You're just
All right.
So beautiful, and your humility, and you're just a wonderful teacher. Thank
you. Love to come on again. Thanks for having me.
All right. And thank you, everyone. We will be having our next program in 2 weeks. Join me when Reverend Juliet Nightingale is going to be on. She's wonderful. Thank you. Bye-bye.